If you would turn to Romans chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13. Romans 6, 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now the New King James Version uses the word members here. If you look in the New International Version, it says parts of the body. So what this verse is actually saying is, do not present your parts of the body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your parts of the body as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, we read earlier on Psalm 139, where it says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And indeed, the human body is an amazing piece of creation, created by our Heavenly Father. God made man in his own image. God made two genders only, despite all the nonsense you hear today. There are only two genders, male and female. And God made man and woman. God made man, Adam first of all, of course, in his image. As we get older, the members or parts of our body will begin to deteriorate. And this is all due to the entrance of sin into the world and the fall of man. And I want to look this morning at four parts of the human body and how we could use them as being instruments of righteousness to God. So we're going to consider the feet, the hands, and the eyes, and the ears. So let's start with the feet. Now, your feet support the weight of your body. Therefore, your feet are very important. Every 3 months, a lady comes to my house, a chiropodist, and she cuts my toenails, and she applies all sorts of creams and lotions to my feet. And when she's gone, I have wonderful new feet. They feel really wonderful when my feet have been looked after by a chiropodist. And we use our feet for walking, don't we? We're told in Genesis 5:25 that Enoch walked with God. We're told in the Bible, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And we remember, of course, that our Saviour's feet, they were pierced upon the cross. Our feet are very, very important. But, you know, sometimes our feet can slip. Our feet can slip. Now, I had an experience of this. I was down in Eastbourne, I think it was earlier this year, there was a brief cold spell in January, and decided I would walk some of the way from the far end, the Wishtower end of Eastbourne, up to towards Beachy Head. And as it had been frosty and it had been raining, and then that rain had frozen and the ground was extremely slippery. And as I started to climb up the hill, my foot slipped and I began to slide back down again. Fortunately, I was able to stop, so I might have had to go much further. And I was all filthy, dirty and horrible, so I had to go back to my hotel and clean up and then go out again. And our feet can slip. Now, Psalm 73 says this, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." It's possible that our feet can stumble, that our faith can stumble, that our faith can slip. It can begin to slip away from us if we're not too careful. We perhaps don't pray as much as we should. We don't perhaps read God's word as much as we should. And our feet can begin to slip away. We can slip away from our Christian faith very easily. And it's sad, isn't it, when people sort of who perhaps come to our church just disappear because they have slipped away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are taking the gospel to people, the Bible says you have beautiful feet. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." So if you're taking the good news, you have beautiful feet. Isn't that wonderful? That doesn't just apply to preachers. It can apply to every one of us. Whatever way we may witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we witness for him, if we are speaking for him and about him, we're bringing good news. We have beautiful feet upon the mountains, are the feet of him who brings good news. So that's just a few verses about the feet. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 12, but we're going to come to that towards the end. Now, how about the hands? Our hands are important because God has created us to have two hands. And we use our hands every day for all sorts of things, don't we? Whether it's washing up or cleaning the car or whatever we do, or whether we're at work or whatever we do, we're always using our hands every day. And God in his providence gave us two of them. So it makes life so much easier. And we need to exercise our hands sometimes, don't we? And that's really good. Now, Psalm 16, verse 8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." God is at your right hand. He's always there. He's at your right hand. The Lord is always there for you, at your right hand. And then Psalm 139 and verse 10, we are told this, Psalm 139 and verse 10, "Even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me." God describes himself as having hands. God has hands, his right hand shall hold me. "Even if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both the light to you." But God's hand will lead us. His right hand will hold on to us. You go for a walk with your husband or your wife, you probably hold their hand, and you probably hold with the right hand, I don't know, and you go for a walk. God is there, and his hands are guiding us. And we can use our hands, can't we, to his glory. We can use our hands in Christian service in whatever way. We use our hands, as well as our feet, of course, in Christian service. We are to have holy hands, and we are to lift up holy hands. Paul, writing to Timothy, tells us about this. If we can just turn that up for a moment. In 1 Timothy 2, it talks about lifting up holy hands in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. And then we come to our eyes. our eyes. Now, I went to, I remember once we had a Horsham Convention meeting. We had, I think it was Professor Stuart Burgess speak. This was many years ago. And he spoke about the amazing structure of the human eye. It's an amazing, complex piece of equipment inside here. Our eyes are amazing. They're incredible. And I don't know if you ever... I remember watching it. There was an advertisement on TV for this guy. He's a delivery driver, and he has a parcel to deliver. And he goes to this tower block in London somewhere, and he rings the bell, and the lady comes to the door, and he says, "Oh, I have a parcel for you." And this lady says, "No, no, it wasn't for me. No, no, that address is over there, on the next tower block over there." And, of course, it was that he hadn't been to Specsavers, you see. He hadn't been to Specsavers, therefore he went to the wrong address. But our eyes are amazing structures. So let's turn to Psalm 94 and verse 9. Psalm 94 and verse 9, which tells us, "He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see?" God formed the eye. No place for evolution here at all. God formed the eye. And then it comes to the ear, and in the same verse, "He who planted the ear, shall he not hear?" Deafness can be a problem for many people today, can't it? You can go to these hearing centres, and they will help you with your hearing and so on. Sometimes you get build up a wax in the ear and you can't hear too well. You may get this sort of whistling tinnitus business. I had that once. We need to look after our ears as well as our eyes. And Psalm 34 and verse 15 says this: "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." God's ears are open to our cry. His ears are open to our prayers. So we hear of God also having eyes and having ears. But sometimes perhaps we may listen to things that perhaps we shouldn't do as Christians. It's so easy, isn't it? There's so much stuff on the TV. A lot of it's pretty unsavoury. Not things that perhaps we should be listening to. But sometimes we may need to shut our ears to some of the things that there are around us today as God's people. And then there's another warning about the ears in Proverbs 21, verse 13. You needn't look all these up because you won't keep up with me. Proverbs 21 and verse 13, where we read this: "Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard." So if we see there is a need and we do nothing about it as Christians, God may not want to answer our prayers. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor. And there are many organisations today, indeed, that are doing a great work with people in need, with people who are poor, with people who are lonely, and so on. And I think of, for instance, the Salvation Army. I think they do an amazing job in looking after people in need today. But there also is a warning in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. And that says this: 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And Paul, writing to Timothy here, warns about there is coming a time, and we are in that time now indeed, when there are those who will not endure sound doctrine. Now that word doctrine, you might think, is a rather dry old word, but it's important that we know as a church what doctrines we believe, and that we defend them, and that we stick to them, and we don't depart from them. But there are those today who have departed from sound doctrine. They have itching ears, and they'll listen to anything, whatever, all the latest ideas and fads and so on. They turn their ears away from the truth and are turned aside to fables. So let that be a warning to us about having itching ears. Paul encourages Timothy to endure afflictions, to do the work of an evangelist, and to fulfill his ministry. So there we are, the feet, the hands, the eyes, and the ears. All those parts of the body we as Christians can use for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel. Because our God has made us, as I said at the beginning, in his image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, as we get older, we lose some of that strength and energy that we used to have when we were younger. I know that now. But we can still use our feet, our hands, our eyes, and our ears to the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel. So let's pray for a moment.